This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
That funny, Jim?
It is.
Ta-dum, 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 ta-dum.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio.
Who is that?
Well,
I recognize that voice.
Been away so long, I don't know if I still know how to do this or not. Ed Battagliano is with us, Professor Ed Battagliano here at Learning University. Good morning, Professor.
Woo, good morning. I'm psyched.
What do you remember most, Ed, about the last 2 weeks when I haven't been here?
What do I remember the most?
Yeah, you know, what struck you in the show? I mean, what happened while I was away? That's what I'm asking you.
You want me to say it wasn't as good without you?
No.
Of course it isn't.
I just wanted to know what happened.
I remember there were a lot of tears
in
the teacher's lounge.
I just didn't know if something happened while I was away that I needed to know about.
See, now this is weird because now I'm thinking – Does he know what happened? Do I confess?
Or do I? Yeah, that's like Professor J.J. Jasper, proud of Owensboro, Kentucky, with us today as well.
Hey, great JJ. To be here. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's like when your mom or dad, you know, when you're 10 years old and they ask you a question, and then you wonder, what do they know?
How much do they know?
Right, and then you end up volunteering everything.
Yeah, because they're psychological.
And then you
masters.
Learn they didn't know anything,
right?
So you volunteered it all.
That's right.
So you just—it's
like the end of the old Perry Mason episodes. You know, the Perry Mason would have the guy on the stand. He'd be asking a few hard questions,
right?
And the criminal would confess. And I'm sitting here going, don't confess. He doesn't have any evidence.
You're yelling at the TV?
Yeah.
All right. Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University is because we're helping you. That's our, you know, grow as people and your understanding of the world.
We're like educational fertilizer.
You know,
you can
take
that however you want.
We're like educational. Educational. Oh, I see.
We help them grow.
Right. We help them grow. Educational fertilizer. But a lot of things are used for fertilizer.
Right.
That's what your point was, which we're not going to delve.
We're not going to delve.
Let your imagination.
You never want to delve into fertilizer.
The comedian over here, I've got a lot of things competing in my head
that
I'm going to bite my tongue.
Yeah, you have to. When you're on live radio, you better think before you talk. Because one slip of the tongue could cost you.
Your
a great
job.
Deal. Yeah, it could.
As well as an FCC fine.
That's right. So that's why you can count on us right here, folks, to temper ourselves and to measure ourselves right here on Learning University. We don't ever get carried away.
Careful and calculated.
Right. All right, here's how we play this game. It's more than a game, but
this
is how we play this. We Trivia Friday. We ask three questions each. Trivia questions, and we let you call in and answer one of them and ask one of your own. That's right. You can ask and answer right here on this program. And so that's what we're going to be doing for the next hour and a half. And you can call in at this phone number. Now, if you call in at another phone number, you're probably not going to get us. But if you'll use this phone number, you'll have a chance. I'll just say you'll have a shot.
Right.
888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the telephone number here for Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. The ground rules are, if you called and got in on the program in the last 4 weeks, do not call. That sounds rude, I know, but we don't mean it that way, do we, Ed?
No, we don't. We just want to give everybody who calls
America,
an opportunity to get on the program.
All Americans.
All Americans.
We have people who listen internationally, but, you know, 888-589-8840. The other ground rule is there was something else.
Yes, it was obey all rules.
Obey all rules, which is don't call and try to get on if you were on in the last 4 weeks.
Right.
Now, Ed, what are your three questions?
Well, here they go, folks. You've been
Where
waiting
are they going?
With bated breath. Now, everyone knows I'm an Andy Griffith fan, so I like to throw these questions in. That's right. I mean, one of the best whistling songs ever.
Yes,
here it is.
Yes.
On the Andy Griffith Show, the names of most of the main characters came from childhood friends of Andy Griffith. Is that true or false?
Good question.
Another television question on the television series Star Trek. Mm-hmm. The captain of the Enterprise starship is James T. Kirk. For what name does the T stand? I guess I don't have to use proper English. What does the T stand for?
Hey, is that theme also a whistling theme like Andy Griffith, Star Trek?
No, no.
Remember the first of it?
That's a...
Is that a flute? Oh, yeah, you're right. It's more of that.
Yeah.
You're not whistling, you're doing...
I'll tell you a good...
I'm sorry I had to do that to you, folks. Okay.
That was pretty good,
yes,
actually.
Yes, it was. I'll tell you a good whistling song, Sweet Georgia Brown. I love to hear that whistle.
Yes,
I don't know if I know that.
Well, picture the Harlem Globetrotters coming out on
the
court.
All right. That is a great, great whistling song. All right, now I threw two TV questions in. Now I got to get a little bit spiritual. Bible question. In 1 Kings 18, how many prophets did Elijah kill? In 1 Kings 18, how many prophets did Elijah kill?
Well, and I don't know. I don't want to give away it. I was going to say something, but it would have been a tip-off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't tip it off.
Go ahead, JJ. What you got over there?
Here's what I've got. Question number one. When the Corvette was first introduced in 1953, it was only available in one color. Which color? When the Corvette was first introduced in 1953, it was only available in one color. Which color? Second question. What is the main ingredient used to make pesto sauce?
The
main ingredient used to make pesto sauce.
Is that like it's a pest? But I don't want to give anything else away.
Yeah, you know, it comes in a bottle. It's pink. If you got an upset tummy. Oh no, wait, that's something else.
That's Pesto Bismol.
Well, they probably are related.
Here's my third question.
Is that like Comet though, or what is that? A cleaner?
No, that's for eating.
Yeah,
pesto sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, the third question. True or false? During the early 1970s, Disney World Airport was adjacent to the Magic Kingdom. The runway was called the Singing Runway because Disney cut lateral grooves into the runway, so when airplanes landed, the tires rolling across the grooves played the tune When You Wish Upon a Star. Is that true?
I tell you what, if you repeat that question twice more, we'll be out of time.
I'm going to repeat it once more.
I want to withdraw my true or false question simply because that's a masterful true or false question.
During the early 1970s, the Disney World Airport was adjacent to the Magic Kingdom. That much is true. I'll give you that.
Okay.
The runway was called the Singing Runway because Disney cut lateral grooves into the runway so when airplanes landed, the tires rolling across the grooves played the tune When You Wish Upon a Star. True or false?
I got a lot of stuff I could say about that right there, but I'm going to withhold the comment till later.
Withhold judgment.
Withhold till later in the program. Okay, after those paragraphs of questions that Ed and JJ have thrown at you, here's my first one. What's the name of the vegetables? It's also a flower.
Wow.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's the first question. What is the name of the vegetable that is also a flower? Did y'all know this? Did y'all know there was a vegetable that's also a flower?
No.
No, but I appreciate the KISS, keeping it simple.
Also, or you could ask it this way, depending on where you live in the country. What is the name of the vegetable that's also a flower?
A flower?
Yeah, so there you go. Flower, F-L-O-W-E-R. Number two. The top United States food consumption days are Christmas, Thanksgiving, and what? Three that are in the top three. Christmas, Thanksgiving, and what's the other day that's the top food consumption day in the...
Great question.
Only Saturday.
Family reunion day.
Calendar. Saturday.
On the calendar. Okay. Also, what's the most common trick a pet dog can perform?
The most common?
Trick.
Yeah.
The most common trick... Or command.
I have a dog that eats his food with a knife and fork. So I'm wondering if anybody else's dog can do
that. Is that true?
Is that true?
You got it. All right. So there you go, folks.
Hey, I got to jump in here. Saw this thing online that a lady loved her dog so much, long-haired dog. She heard about somebody who could take dog hair and make house shoes. Gave the price, person's name. It's been wildly popular. People love their dog. You take a collie, whatever, and cut the hair, give it to this lady, and she makes some house shoes. Well, I had some fun, shared that on the radio in between songs, and then I said, you know, if this winds up being successful, these will be the only slippers that will be able to fetch themselves.
Did you just make that up?
The last part I just added. The other part was legit.
That's a long way to go for a joke, but it was worth it.
All right, let's go to the phone.
All right, we go to the phones. We go first to Virginia. Christina is on the line. Christina, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi.
How are you doing, Christina?
I'm fine.
Would you like to ask, answer, or do both?
Both.
All right, which question would you like to answer?
How many prophets did Elijah kill?
All right, let me repeat the question. In 1 Kings 18, how many prophets did Elijah kill?
450 men.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to give that. Here's the thing. It says the 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Asherah, and it says that Elijah killed all the prophets, and then later it says he killed the prophets of Baal. So 450 or 850, I will give you either answer. Good job.
Wonderful.
Now,
Christina.
Let me ask you this.
Way to go, Christina.
I've been there. You're talking about Mount Carmel.
Right.
Many times in the, you know, over the my years of traveling to Israel. So is the Bible saying that he killed them all with himself?
Well,
or did he have people to help him?
He might have had people to help him.
He never got any credit.
He might have ordered them. Right. They didn't get the nameless people that he might have said kill all.
Of course, God can do the impossible. We know that. Well, it just sounds in the natural that couldn't happen.
Well, it says in there, then Elijah said to them,
right,
seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.
Okay.
So
somebody there helping.
He was in charge.
Seized.
He ordered it.
Right, gotcha.
So
he seized them, and then they killed them.
Tim, you said that couldn't happen. You apparently haven't seen Mel Gibson's Braveheart.
That's true.
Or Tom Cruise.
It can happen.
Or Tom Cruise in any movie.
Right.
Or Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer can take down an army.
Great job, Christina. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah. What is the book of the Bible where God's name is not mentioned?
Well, that's the book of Esther.
Is that right? Did we get it right, Christina?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Christina, thanks for starting us off with a correct answer and giving us one to answer as well.
Good Bible
you have
question.
A wonderful weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Christina. Good to hear from you. 11 years old. We have
11 years old.
What's the youngest caller we've ever had that you remember? Did we have like a 6-year-old?
I think that was really kind of too young.
They did that sonogram once, and they had the I don't guess.
Yeah,
we heard the heartbeat. Yeah.
Well, they held up a T or an F,
right.
and the unborn baby, you know, pointed.
Right. True or false?
True or false.
All right, it's Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, taking your calls from across the good old U.S. of A, answering our questions and challenging us with questions of your own. We go back to the phones, and we're next, Ed.
I feel challenged already. Hey, we go to West Virginia. Baseball Hank is on the line. Baseball Hank, how you doing?
How are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good. How are you?
Good. You want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I'm going to do both this week.
All right. Which question you want to take a shot at?
The Corvette.
All right, Hank. Let's see.
Hank's a good baseball name.
Yeah, you better believe it. When the Corvette was first introduced in 1953, it was only available in one color. Mm. Hank, which color?
White.
White.
Yay! Right there's it. What does that mean, JJ?
That means Hank won a free CD, a mug.
We're gonna send him a mug.
Wonderful. You won a mug.
That's nice.
That was our mystery question. We didn't even tell people that we always have a mystery question from the first nine.
Yeah, we left it a mystery.
If you get it correct.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting.
If you answer correctly, you get it. You knew that. And I can picture that white Corvette with that red interior with those bucket seats. But I thought maybe red, maybe white, or several colors, but it was only available in one color.
Hank, if you'd have been the second caller, we were going to give you a Corvette. But you know, you missed it by one call.
$1 short.
I hate when that happens.
You're going to get that mug, though. Don't worry about it.
Before I forget, because I forgot to get the information from our winner last week, that caller, by the way, let me just say this. The caller who got the mystery question last week, and we forgot to get your information, if you'll send an email, what is it, comments at AFR.net. AFR.net. I know the name of the person. Go ahead and send us your mailing information. We'll get your CD out to you. And Baseball Hank, don't hang up after we're through on the program. We'll put you on hold and get your mailing information.
Ed, now you know.
Thank you very much.
Now you know why Tim was saying what happened last week. Don't you hate it when you're the subject of an email?
Yes.
All right. What's your question for us?
I have a baseball question for you. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Fire away.
All right. In 1951, in the Major League Baseball season, the home run called the shot heard round the world was hit by Bobby Thompson. I won't tell you the team. I'm going to let you guess this.
Okay.
Who was on deck the next batter up?
Ooh.
Just let us talk amongst
ourselves. We're going to talk amongst ourselves.
He never came up, of course, but because the game was won. But
okay, now
he played for the Yankees.
Yeah, he played for the Yankees, right?
No, the New York Giants.
Oh, the New York Giants.
Yeah, I gave you a hint there.
All right.
We were in New York, but yeah.
Oh, we got that wrong. Bobby Thompson. Well,
All right. Now let us talk amongst ourselves here.
I started keeping up with baseball like in the late 60s, 70s, but I'm going to say Willie Mays is the only famous Giant that I would know from that era. I'm assuming he was around.
In 51?
In 51. That would have been early for him. He'd have been like a rookie or probably.
I just don't. It's a little before.
I don't know. We're going to say
Willie Mays, Hank.
You are absolutely correct.
Hey! Wow! Right. Very impressive.
That's our president.
Yeah. Willie Mays.
Way to go, Tim.
I have a history on Willie. I'm old enough that I saw Willie Mays play in the minor leagues in Trenton, New Jersey. Played for the Trenton Giants.
Wow.
I saw him in 1950. He went up to the Giants in 51, and he was a rookie, and he was on deck. And I've seen him interviewed quite a few times, and he said, I was so excited and so young, I just didn't know what to do. You don't even see me in the picture greeting them.
Well, Willie Mays, so you're saying he was a rookie that year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 51, he was a rookie. He went up in 51. He was on deck. He was a young 20-year-older, and he had no idea of what to do when that home run was hit.
Yeah, that was before they moved to San Francisco, obviously.
Tim, you got that. And the backstory. That's pretty awesome that he was a rookie.
Yeah, that was he's my favorite all-time ball player.
Well, they called him the Say Hey Kid. Some baseball experts consider Willie Mays the greatest overall player of all time because of
absolutely, and I feel so too. He was at least a five-tool player. I always want to say he was a six, but he was a five-tool player. The greatest that I ever saw.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, don't hang up.
And thank you very much for the gift. I really appreciate it, and I will hold on.
Okay, all right.
Hey, you know what? Alabama, state of Alabama, is known for football, right?
Right. Yeah,
but Willie Mays. A lot of people consider him the greatest baseball player of all time, arguably. And Hank Aaron, who would certainly be in the top 10 greatest baseball players of all time.
Right.
Both from the state of Alabama.
Really?
Did you know that? Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Hank Aaron.
Hey.
Hank Aaron,
the all-time home run before Barry Bonds took over, but Barry Bonds sort of, you know, had the problem with the
steroids. Oh, did he actually
steroids.
Pass Hank Aaron? Okay, all right.
Hey, who was it? Was it Willie Mays that when he'd run the bases, he'd run so fast his hat came off, and later he said, you know, I kind of put it on there a little bit loose, so that would happen.
Is that right?
Was that Willie or maybe Hank,
may have
one
been.
Of the guys?
I don't know. Anyway, Trivia Friday it is. You're listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, As long as it's positive and encouraging, send it to comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and J.J. Jasper. We also call this show
Learning University.
The Learning University is on the air here on American Family Radio. Ed, what is our goal? You have a great way of putting it.
Our goal, Tim, is to make our students more better and more smarter.
Right.
Or smarterer.
Smarterer and betterer.
Yes.
And
that's our goal.
That's our goal. One of our goals.
Yes.
But certainly that's a top goal. Yeah. All right, back to the phones we go.
All right. Well, we go to Texas. Dave is on the line. Dave, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Thank you, brother Dave.
You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I want to do both.
All right. Which question you want to answer?
Okay, first one about the Star Trek captain.
All right, here's the question. On the television series Star Trek, the captain of the Enterprise starship is James T. Kirk. What does the T stand for?
Tiberius.
Tiberius is correct.
Wow, way to go.
James Tiberius Kirk was the captain of the
Tiberius
starship.
Tiberius is also a city on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee.
Yes, and one of the Roman Empire. Roman emperors. So.
Hey, good answer.
Good answer, yeah. Dave.
Tim, you mentioned a couple references, and I know you're not asking for this, but in the spring you lead a tour to the Holy Land, and so many people are just amazed by how much they get from that. How can a person find out about going with you on your trip to the Holy Land?
Well, we're going on a five-year trip.
Where no man has gone before.
Where no man has gone before. And we're leaving March 9, coming back the 17th, 9th through the 17th. If you want more information on that tour, you just simply go to the website TWHolyLand.com. TWHolyLand.com. I think we got 20 people signed up already.
Spiritual heritage tours, they fill up quickly. So I'd encourage someone, that'd make a great gift for your pastor or somebody for Christmas.
Absolutely. Now, we got that theme. We've got that you...
Oh, the Star Trek theme. We're going to come back from the break. We're going to play it.
Oh, when we come back from the break?
And we're going to beam up one of our listeners. You don't know who it is.
The mystery listener.
Yeah, so you might want to fasten your seatbelt or unfasten your seatbelt.
All right, take one more call.
Well, Dave, you got a question for us?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'd first like to say that I volunteer to test out that transporter system for you.
Okay. We've got a few bugs to work out. So, all right, go ahead, Dave. What's your question?
So my question is this. There's a background to it first. The largest group of people to have ever been identified as singing together, over 50,000, sang Home Sweet Home, and they sang it a cappella. So who were the singers, and where do they sing?
50,000?
Over 50,000.
All right, Home Sweet Home, how's that go? Like what?
Ever so humble, there's no place like home.
Oh, okay.
50,000 people are singing that somewhere?
Yeah.
Over 50,000.
Wow.
Usually historical sources.
Usually 50,000 is a rock concert. Okay, not a folk singing.
Okay. Well, maybe somebody led them in at a concert. I just have no idea. You guys have any idea?
I'm clueless, but you've got my interest.
All right, Dave. We're about to hit the break, so go ahead and tell us.
Okay, the singers were the Union and the Confederate armies at Murfreesboro, Tennessee in 1862, and they were at the Battle of Murfreesboro, also known as Stone's River. The singing began from one side and it continued, and both sides sang it at the same time.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, Dave, we're about to hit the
break.
That
is great
but
trivia.
That is an excellent. I love that.
Yeah, good American history.
Good history trivia.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. God bless y'all.
Okay, take care. Hey, what we're going to do is take a break right here. And then come back in a minute with more of Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We will reset our questions that have heretofore. I said heretofore.
Yes.
Gone unanswered.
I hear that.
And we shall return momentarily with more of Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Pastor Caleb Anderson, author of Favor with Kings.
He's the only one who can take something negative, and even though it's bad and it doesn't get good, still there's good that comes from it.
Plus, Don Whitney, author of Family Worship. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR, and online at afr.net.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stopped along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. A very angry dad called me the other day complaining about a lesson his son received in a high school English class.
Comparing Hitler speeches to Trump speeches.
That's right, folks. Comparing Hitler speeches to Donald Trump speeches. Happened at Cedar Ridge High School in North Carolina. The dad says the teacher hates Mr. Trump, and instead of parsing participles, she's bashing the guy.
My son told me he felt really uncomfortable. He felt like he was attacking anybody who liked Trump or attacking anybody's parents who liked Trump, and she didn't say anything bad about any other politician.
Other students were so upset they secretly recorded some of the teacher's rantings. You can listen to them at toddstearns.com. The school district tells me they are aware of the recordings and are investigating. But once again, folks, this is yet another example of how our public school systems have been turned into left-wing indoctrination centers. I'm Todd Stearns.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Well, now I'm embarrassed that I even attempted to try to sing that.
I thought you did well.
Yeah, I think you did well. Yeah.
Theme from Star Trek, right? 5 years.
5 years.
They were just going. Did they ever tell where they left from?
Well, Earth. Come on, Tim.
Mobile?
It was a whole lot like
where,
that.
Where did they leave from?
Like that three-hour voyage.
That's what I don't know.
A whole lot like
three-hour tour.
Got a three-hour tour, and everybody's got their clothes on board, right? The Ginger does, anyway.
Learning
and
University.
Wrong ship.
The final frontier of education. Yes. To boldly teach where no man has taught before.
Yeah.
We ought to
borrow those and make that our motto.
5 year plan.
Did they stay
out there more?
Plan.
Well, they stay out there.
Well, the television show stayed. I mean, right. the Star Trek franchise
More than 5 years. Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. You're listening to American Family Radio, whether you like it or not. And I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and JJ Jasper. We're professors here at Learning University. Doesn't mean we think we're better than you. Probably are in some cases, but we don't talk about that.
We're humble about it.
No, but we're humble about it. Let's repeat our questions. We have questions we ask, and then we have we receive questions unto ourselves, given by you, and we answer them.
Given by thee.
Yes.
I got one original question. I've had two answered. I hope people don't keep answering my questions, or I'm going to be shut out. My first question. On the Andy Griffith Show, the names of most of the main characters came from childhood friends of Andy Griffith. Is that true,
true or false?
Second question. Very short, Tim. You'll like this.
Okay.
A group of turtle eggs is called a what? A group of turtle eggs is called
what? So you go over to your window and you look out in your backyard and you got a group of turtle eggs running around out there. You call your wife over to the window and you say, honey, look over there. We got a group of turtle eggs.
It's a blank.
A blank of turtle eggs.
And I saw this on some nature show. I've been getting into the nature shows lately.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Is that what happens when you get post 55?
Apparently. I watch baseball, football, and nature shows.
If you're watching the Weather Channel a lot, that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign.
You know what? I'm doing that. I got my weather app on my iPad, so I'm at least a little more advanced than just sitting there watching the Weather Channel all day.
Look, it's raining in Mobile.
Now, whether it's a little bit obsessive to pull up the weather app, 700 times a day, I don't know. Somebody else will have to judge that.
Somebody will have to answer.
Yeah. What do you got?
All right. I guess one more. I'm going to add another Bible question. According to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the angel Gabriel visited Mary and what other person? According to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the angel Gabriel, by name, visited Mary and what other person? That's it.
You think Gabriel's friends called him?
Gabe?
Yeah.
Do angels have friends?
Here's one of those
theological questions that
Do angels have friends?
How many angels on the head of a pin?
How many angels?
Do angels interact? Do they pal around?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Is there
know.
A break room where angels go and sit and talk?
Right.
I know they got a favorite cake.
There you go. What do angels do when they're not rescuing stupid humans?
Yeah. Go ahead, JJ. What you got?
Here's what I've got. What is the main ingredient used to make pesto sauce? What is the main ingredient used to make pesto sauce? Second question in the form of a paragraph. During the early 1970s, the Disney World Airport was adjacent to the Magic Kingdom. The runway was called the Singing Runway because Disney cut lateral grooves into the runway so airplanes landing, the tires rolling across the grooves, played the tune When You Wish Upon a Star. Is that true or false?
Part two of this question will be asked.
No, then if I can add one.
Chapter two.
Caracool and Dorset are types of what? Caracool and Dorset are types of what?
Caracool, wasn't she the U.S. Olympic ice skater that had her knee broken by that
girl? No. What did you say? What did you call him, JJ?
It's K-A-R-A-K-U-L. Caracool and Dorset.
Well,
fins on a shark.
They opened for Simon and Garfunkel.
Ladies and gentlemen.
1969.
Gave it away.
They never quite attained that level of success.
They weren't even a one-hit wonder.
And they were bitter about it for a long time. The success.
Caracool, especially.
Simon and Garfunkel had.
What was that Caracool? Wasn't one? Some of them like they had little puppets, a little children's British children's thing.
They
what
did.
Was that?
Oh, who am Kukla, I thinking? Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Yeah, that's what their original name was.
Hey, by the way, that is good at Olive Caracool. Garden.
Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Yeah, if you order that with
it's
shrimp.
Good for Ollie.
Whoa.
That Ollie oil
you
is very good
ready,
for you.
You just get ready, buddy. Let them taste buds roll.
They say Ollie oil is the best kind of oil for you.
Ollie oil?
Yeah.
Okay. Here are my three questions. What is the name of the vegetable that is also a flower? What is the name of a vegetable, of the vegetable that's also a flower? There you go.
Honey, I picked you a bouquet of tomatoes. It's going to be a little messy, but just a thought that counts.
A bouquet of tomatoes.
The top United States food consumption days are Christmas, Thanksgiving, and what day?
Saturday. I'm going to keep saying it.
You think all the pizza that's consumed on Groundhog's Day, buddy.
What's the most common trick a pet dog can perform? That's my final question. What's the most common trick a pet dog can perform? Back to the phones, Ed.
All right. Well, your namesake, Tim, in Alabama. Tim is on the line. Tim, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good, brother. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
Both.
All right. What question you want to answer?
I would like to answer the one about, it's kind of hard. I'd like to answer the one about the Disney or the turtle eggs, so I think I'll pick the Disney one.
All right, Tim, here's the question. During the 1970s, the Disney World Airport was adjacent to the Magic Kingdom. The runway was called the Singing Runway because Disney cut lateral grooves into the runway so when airplanes landed, the tires rolling across the grooves played the tune When You Wish Upon a Star. Tim, is that true or false?
That is true.
It is 100% true.
Wow.
Wow.
When you wish upon a star.
Let me give just a little more backstory. The Magic Kingdom, it was served by the now defunct Shawnee Airlines. The runway still exists at the theme park, but it's used as a backstage parking and storage lot. And it says that the lateral grooves were cut into the runway designed to play the tune When You Wish Upon a Star. And, I mean, amazing all the things that Disney does to brand and market. But who in the world
would have liked to have been in that first meeting, though.
Hey, I'm thinking 100% grooves.
True. No, just hear me. Just hear me out on this now. Just hear me out.
At 45 miles an hour. That's when you could hear the tune played over and over again going down the runway when you landed.
Well, at least it didn't play It's a Small, Small World, because that song gets stuck in your head. Man.
Or Stairway to Heaven.
Or Stairway to Heaven. Tim, you have a question for us?
Well, I was going to resort back to the man who called earlier about the Civil War, and I was actually going to ask the question about the Battle of Shiloh, a little closer to home there for you guys.
Yeah, it's about 50, 60 miles from where we sit right now, Shiloh, Tennessee.
Right. Yeah, I used to live up there. I'm really kind of a big history buff on the wars there. I like to go up there a lot.
Yeah, that's a big Civil War battle site.
Yeah.
Shiloh, yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard to take in everything when you go up there, so I like to make several trips a year during this time, fall. It's a good time to go up there. But anyway, I'll get on with it. The Battle of Shiloh. On what day was the Battle of Shiloh begin?
I don't. You know, JJ?
No, I don't. Tim, this is a little embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
No. What I was going to say, a little embarrassing. My great-great-grandfather fought at the Battle of Shiloh and is buried in a military cemetery, and it's an hour from us, and I've never been, and I've wanted to go. So, yeah, I want to go up there and see that, but I don't know the answer to the question.
Yeah, I think you got us, Tim.
Well, that was April 6th of 1862.
How many died when you combined the Union and the Confederate soldiers?
We met with only 40,000, and they had us at a disadvantage because we had called troops to the east to support Gettysburg.
But do you know how many died total?
No, I do not.
Okay, I mean several thousand.
There really wasn't an accurate number because if you go up there, there's several markers of.
I think
mass graves.
Yeah, I would.
Blood
I'm not a. Yeah, thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
I would say I'm not a Civil War buff necessarily, but
I'm not either.
I think the Battle of Shiloh would. I'm going to guess it falls into the top 10 as far as a single battle where the loss of life. Yeah, it was bad. And I remember where my grandparents lived, which was about probably 30 miles as a crow flies in the northeast corner of Mississippi. But I remember hearing as a child, the stories passed down that you could hear the Battle of Shiloh where they lived.
Hear the cannons booming.
From the, I don't know if that's just legend or if that's true.
No, I heard the same thing from some old timers back in the 1980s, you know, people that were 90 years old, and they were telling some of the same stories that their parents or grandparents had said. You know, from 40 miles away, you could hear the cannons firing.
Right, because there was so much of it going on that you could hear it. And, of course, you didn't have back in those times. I guess maybe you could because back in those times, you didn't have all the noise out there, like airplanes and background noise. You probably could hear things from a long way away.
Yeah.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and J.J. Jasper. This Here Show is also known as
Learning University.
We're trying to make, as Ed says, make you a better person and a smarter person. More smarter person so that you can, you know, impress your friends and family and maybe get a job advancement, things of that nature, which will benefit you.
Yes, we hope for that. That's our goal.
That's our goal. That's our objective. All right, let's repeat our questions for the final time this hour.
Okay. Here are my three. On The Andy Griffith Show, the names of most of the main characters came from the childhood friends of Andy Griffith. Is that true or false? Second question. A group of turtle eggs is called a what? What's the name given to a group of turtle eggs? Final question. Bible question. According to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the angel Gabriel visited Mary and what other person?
Here's what I've got. What is the main ingredient used to make pesto sauce? Second question, Caracul and Dorset are types of what? Caracul and Dorset are types of what? And then I'll add one. The Trix cereal rabbit mascot is actually a replacement for what animal? The Trix rabbit came on the scene in 1967, but the Trix cereal rabbit mascot is a replacement for what animal?
So, in other words, there was an animal that they used for Trix cereal before that.
Yeah, there was another animal, and the rabbit
that.
Was
what
the,
happened?
He was the Dak Prescott of the cereal of the cereal world.
So another what now? Another animal was being used on the Trix cereal.
You got to think back to 1967.
Did it have like personal issues or something? What happened?
Well, there was a morals clause.
Not allowed to really say until after the trial. The trial has lingered and lingered until all the depositions were not allowed to really comment.
Well, Hollywood, I tell you, the cesspool. All right, here, can't even. Trust a Trix.
Well, now the word cesspool is connected to Trix cereal. I'm never going to eat that again.
That was big. It was like, anyway. Here are my questions. What's the most common trick a pet dog can perform? The most common trick a pet dog can perform. Number two, the top United States food consumption days are Christmas, Thanksgiving, and what's the other day? The third day. What's the third day? And final question, what is the name of the vegetable that is also a flower? This is a dual-purpose plant. It serves as a vegetable and can also mix in with the flower family.
Oh, you can be a blessing to your wife on your anniversary and enjoy a nice meal.
Right?
Yeah.
It's win-win.
It's a true plant hybrid.
Somehow, I'm thinking if you give your wife this in lieu of flowers, you're going to be in trouble.
Well,
I mean, if it can serve as a fruit.
Well, we'll.
You gave me fruit for my birthday?
Our phone number here is 888-589-8840. You can call and be on the air, ask and answer a question. 888-589-8840. Please don't call if you've been on the air with us in the last 4 weeks. Other than that,
go for it.
Go for it. Who's next, Ed?
All right, we go to Mississippi, and Ryan is on the line. Ryan, welcome to Trivia Friday. Hello, Ryan. Come in, Ryan. All right, Ryan has gone on a 3-hour tour and will not be able to be with us.
I got it.
Yeah, you just got that?
I got it.
Yeah, 3-hour tour.
Stop, you're killing me.
Okay, we go to Arkansas, and Danelle is on the line. Danelle.
Hey,
okay. Welcome.
Danelle's just not a river in Egypt.
Oh, that's man. Welcome to the program, Danelle.
Good morning, guys.
You want to ask, answer, or do both?
Do both.
All right.
What town is Danelle?
We don't have towns anymore, just the states.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask. I don't know why. I'm being prompted by.
Okay. I live in Harrisburg, Arkansas. It's in the northeast part of the state, a big agricultural.
Oh, Jonesboro, Pocahontas, Blytheville, that area?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Well, wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I would like to answer Tim's question about the third largest food consumption day.
Oh, because I want to know
the
answer.
Yeah, I'm curious.
This too.
Okay, in the good old U.S. of A., we consume food the most on 3 days, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Danelle, what's the other day?
I think it's kind of a trick question, so I'm going to say Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Way to go. Yeah, well,
think about
New Year's.
Think about it. Think
yeah,
I may
say Easter, but.
No,
I'm usually fasting on Easter, but, you know. Right. That's just because I'm super Bowl. Spiritual.
What about on Super Bowl Sunday, Ed?
I'm fasting on Easter because I sinned on Super Bowl Sunday.
But Super Bowl Sunday, you're right, is the most.
Way to go, yes. Danielle.
Excellent. Excellent.
What, you have one for us?
Some of the statistics of how many pounds of pizza and salsa and bags of chips and all that before?
You got to think pizza is the number one food on that day because
exactly.
That would be an excellent trivia question for next week.
All the pizza companies are like, you better call 2 hours in advance. You're not going to get anything.
We need all of you part timers to come in this here on Super Bowl. Make sure nobody call in sick. You need to be here. Yeah. That's what the pizza manager says.
That's right. Do you have a question for us today?
I have a question. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, most of you listeners know that in the state of Arkansas, we have the crater of Diamond State Park here in Murfreesboro, Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, and most people can go in there and dig for diamonds, and one such person did back in 1924, and I'd just like to know how many carats was that diamond that was found there in 1924.
Is that kind of what put that on the map?
I believe so.
Yeah. How many carats?
Big.
Yeah. How many carats was that diamond?
The uncle. They even named those large diamonds that are found there, and this one was called the Uncle Sam Diamond.
Isn't that down around? Isn't that south of Little Rock?
It's pretty far south of Arkansas, below Hot Springs. And
you mean of Little Rock? Below?
Probably
yeah.
About an hour.
Well, you can go there and dig for diamonds in an area yourself.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what you pay, but
yeah,
go take the family.
Yeah. We went down and scouted it out, and we're going to plan on taking our RV down there and a couple grandkids and put them to work.
Well, my wife and I were going to go there, but we kind of got off and went to Carrot Crater. State Park and dug for carrots, and that was not nearly as much fun. But I did get a 4-pounder, so I just want to say that was.
Well,
that
I'd like to see
that.
And now you got 20/20 vision, so it worked
serious
out really well.
Unfortunately, I gave a bunch of carrots to my wife on her birthday, and she wanted flowers. But so that's just anyway.
He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what? We don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer. No, I'm stalling
answer?
To know.
I'm going to say 3 carats, Danielle.
Oh, my, no. 40.23 carats.
Wow.
A diamond that large?
40 carats?
Yes.
What was the man? What was the person's name who found that?
It was a Trump.
Oh, mercy, I don't remember.
And what,
you know
island, what island is
now,
he living
now,
on?
Now, I want just think about this for a minute. Here's a man or a woman or both. Couple looking for diamonds in this park. I don't know if at that time that's what it was, a place where you go and you can pay to go out and look for diamonds. But I doubt very seriously you shout out loud.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I found one as big as my foot.
I think you probably you try to hold you hold your excitement in and maybe act inconspicuous because you don't want.
Like the gold rush in California.
Right.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
And what's the word for you don't say eureka? What is it when you have to put your diamond in a wheelbarrow and wheel it out towards the... Man.
Well, Danielle, let me ask you a question.
Hallelujah.
Let me ask you a question about that. Now, diamonds like that aren't necessarily valuable, right? Because don't diamonds have to be a certain cut to be valuable, or are all the diamonds valuable that you pull out of that part?
Well, I think you take the diamond and then you can cut it.
Yeah, you cut it up.
You have it cut it. Okay,
yeah.
I haven't cut it.
And then that's what makes it
right
more valuable.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But it's going to be valuable because you're going to get a lot of diamonds out of that. And then according to how many facets are on it, the jeweler does that. And, but he hit the
mother load.
The mother load for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, Danielle, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, 40-pound –
diamond.
Carrot.
40 carats?
40 carats. But carats are what? How much is that? I don't know why I'm asking this question.
I don't know.
No, I shouldn't even ask.
I know the four C's are what they say to really, that you look for when you're going to buy a diamond if you're engaged or
Right. What know, about clarity, the five?
Clarity, cut,
the
carrots.
Carrot, and color.
Mm. Yeah, and the five major food groups. What, what are they, JJ?
E-I-O and sometimes okay. Y.
E-I-O-U pizza, and sometimes
pizza,
Y.
Pizza has them all.
Yeah.
Think pizza, yeah.
It. You got meat, vegetables, bread.
Right.
Right. And we got a dairy product and what else?
Cheese. That's right.
Cheese, right. There yeah. you go. You want to eat healthy, eat pizza.
So this public service announcement brought to you by
Dr. Oz.
Back to the phones.
Back to the phones we go. Happy to do it. We go to Louisiana. James is on the line. James, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Oh, thank you. I'm ignored for 30 minutes. I mean, yeah, 30 minutes.
Yeah, but it was worth anyway, the wait. Really, it was worth the wait, wasn't it? I mean, you
it
got...
It always is. You, it's been 6 months since I got through, but that's fine. I'm going to do both, and I'll do the Andy Griffith one.
All right, here's the question. On the Andy Griffith Show, the names of most of the main characters came from childhood friends of Andy Griffith. Is that true or false?
Most definitely, 100% true.
That is false.
Oh.
False. Most of the main characters got their names from towns in North Carolina. Taylorsville, Crumpler, North Carolina for Helen Crump, Lawsonville, Floyd Lawson, Walkertown, Ellie Walker, so on and so forth. So I staged the question so it would seem true. So that I just kind of did a little bit of sleight of hand there, but no, it's definitely false. But it's a good shot. I would have thought, you know, I would have thought the same thing. So, what's your question for us, James?
Well, this isn't my question, but a point of thought. Find out what the name of the song is that Andy Griffith whistles. But that's not my question.
Oh, so you want someone?
Question for you guys can look that up and figure it out later.
Well, it's
my actual question.
It's
my actual question.
It's Fishing Hole is the name of the song.
Oh, you're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. But the actual question was. Leonard Franklin Stye was a movie actor years ago. Do you know what his name was changed to?
Like his stage name, you mean?
Well, no, actually, I think it was his actual name after.
Oh, okay.
His birth name.
Fry. I you know.
I'll give you a clue. Was he was not the but a singing cowboy.
Gene Autry.
All right, we're going to go with Gene Autry.
Gene Autry was the singing cowboy. No, Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers. So he changed his name to Roy Rogers?
That is correct, before he got into the first movie.
Okay.
So who was the...
A little deep.
So who was the singing cowboy?
That was Gene Autry.
Okay, so he was the singing cowboy.
He was one of the singing cowboys. Yeah, hey, thanks, James.
Hey, thanks.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Have a blessed week.
All right, you too, sir. I think he was saying that there's more than one singing cowboy because I guess singing westerns were, you know, kind of popular for a while. Gene Autry, I think, was called the singing cowboy, but Roy Rogers also sang. And a lot of people don't know that his horse, Trigger, also sang some in some of those movies.
Don't you find that a little odd?
A singing horse? Absolutely. I really do.
JJ, do you find that a little odd?
You mean the fact that they tried to offer Trigger food and he said, no, thank you, I'm stuffed?
I just don't think if you introduce singing cowboys today, it would work.
No, it would. Well, the Three Amigos.
Yeah.
It has to be a comedy, though, doesn't it?
But I'm talking about multiple movies and to be a national star.
Singing cowboys. Especially they had outfits that were always perfectly clean.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine the Magnificent Seven singing tonight when they opened their movie across the country? I just can't
Musicals
see it.
Musicals always threw me off. Can you imagine doing what you do every day and then breaking into song? Why, they'd arrest you.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.